Our scripture today is from John 1. I'm going to begin with verse 35. John the Baptist, standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walked by. He exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Verily, truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is a familiar passage to most of us. We have heard it before, and I just wanted to share with you the things that I particularly noticed when I read through this passage. The first thing I noticed was that I just see curiosity. There's these two men that notice something about Jesus, and they're curious. They might have heard about Jesus or heard that he was around, or we don't really know what all he had done before this or so forth. They were likely disciples or followers of John the Baptist, and they heard John say, "Look, here's the Lamb of God," and they're just plain curious to know more. So they follow Jesus. They're probably, I'm guessing, kind of hanging back a little bit, wondering where he's going to go, wondering what he's going to do, wondering what this is all up about. And then Jesus turns and asks them, "What are you looking for?" And they can't really answer. I don't think they really know how to answer the question, "What are you looking for?" Because I think it speaks of a deeper, unanswerable question that they don't have answers for. They don't know how to articulate what it is that they're really looking for, that deep thirst within that you can't really put into words, but it's somehow more than just, "What are you looking for?" As if, are you looking for a person or a place or a thing? And so they ask a simpler question in return. "Where are you staying?" And Jesus simply says, "Come and see." He doesn't say, "Follow me." He doesn't say, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of people. I'll make you into great missionaries and give you great work to do in our world. I'll make you disciples. I'll make you into something that you're not." He doesn't say, "Leave everything and spend the next 3 years with me. You don't know what's coming and you don't know where you'll lay your head some nights, but come spend 3 years hanging out with me." He doesn't say, "Here's the cost. Count the cost. And this is what you're going to face if you come follow me." He just simply says, "Come and see. And I love the simplicity of that. Just come and see. And so they hang out together for the day. And it was clearly something worth hanging around for. It says that they stayed together until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We don't know how early they started or whatever. But the implication is that they hung out together for the day and had a conversation. And it's a beginning. It's a start in what we know as we read through Scripture turns into a longer, bigger deal. But I think they don't have any answers to their questions, and they don't even know what questions they have. But that it's enough to just be with Jesus and let the rest unfold over time. And I think it's so true for us as well. It's just enough to be. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to have answers to all of our questions. We don't even have to know the questions that are within us. We simply come and see, and that's enough. And then we walk day by day, and it unfolds as we go. One of the two men that was with Andrew goes and finds his brother Simon. One of the two men was Andrew, and Andrew goes and finds his brother Simon and tells him, "We found the Messiah." Now, I'm not sure that, again, Andrew understood the full implication of what he was saying. Messiah and Christ mean anointed, and they would have anointed kings, and that they were under Roman rule and were anticipating a deliverer, and there was a common sense of, maybe this is the Messiah, are you the Messiah? And even people that said they were the Messiah. So I don't know that he fully grasped that, but he said it, and I think he simply blurts out the truth. Kind of because God put it there, and he says the truth. Makes me think of, this isn't really naming the truth, but once in a while I've said, there's a bird, and named the bird, and been shocked to myself that I knew what bird it was. And then somebody like Patty that really does know what bird it is, and she says, yeah, that's what it was. And, or that I am with somebody and I just name the power of God in them. And it just comes out of me. I don't think about it. I don't contemplate. I don't work at figuring out how this is. I just name. This is how God works in you. And it's, and sometimes we're both kind of surprised to know that that's true. I have a feeling that's kind of what Andrew did here. This is the Messiah, and he just said it. And I wondered later if he thought, how did I know that? And we don't know, because it doesn't tell us that kind of detail. But I love that he named this thing that God put in his heart, and in his mouth maybe, that it just went in and came out, and that he blurts out the truth. This is the Messiah. Well, then he brings his brother Simon to Jesus, and Jesus looks at Simon and says, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Now, Cephas and Peter mean rock. And without knowing Peter for a long time, not having hung out with him for 3 years and not having been in a long-term kind of relationship, he named the truth of what he saw in Peter. He saw into his core, the core of his being, and named the truth. Not just who he was in that moment, but the inner man that was created in God's image. Jesus saw the Peter that we see in the book of Acts. Not the impetuous and volatile Peter in the Gospels that jumps out of the boat to walk on water and then says, "Help," as he starts to sink. Or not the Peter that says, "I'll follow you anywhere, Jesus," and denies Christ. But the one that we see in the book of Acts that is filled with the Holy Spirit and becomes a leader of the church and is God's person who speaks in profound ways and does profound God work in this world as he's transformed by this filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus saw in Peter. The the Peter that was there all along, it would come to full fruition much, much later. The next day, Jesus finds Philip and says, "Follow me." So the invitation seems to strengthen, and he invites Philip to stay a while and to follow, implying more time, like it's a growing journey. And I think that's really true for me, that sometimes it begins with, it's just come and see. It's like, come and see, and if you want to leave, fine, you can leave. And yet it's an invitation that says, come and see, and there's more. And the next step, just to keep following and taking it one step at a time. It's a growing journey without a lot of requirements at the beginning. And I love that he doesn't set out the requirements. And, you know, usually when you sign up for something, here's the requirements. You just kind of know what you're signing up for. But this God journey that Jesus just invites us to come and see and to follow. Both Andrew and Philip tell somebody else, and this is important as they share it with others. It's this good news that they can't really keep to themselves. And Philip also declares that Jesus is something significant. And he says, "We found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son and of Joseph from Nazareth." Again, he names something, whether he understands it or not. He names what he is true about Jesus. Well, Nathanael's reaction is really negative. And who of us doesn't respond negatively sometimes? You hear that and you say, "Well, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Nazareth is just a podunk town. That's not the capital. That's not the place of education. That's not the center of where stuff happens. That's some little village up in the north." And who would? Nah. And I think we often, all of us, respond negatively in a sense to something. Something comes to us, a God invitation comes, and we're like, "I don't think so." And yet, as we take the next step, way forward unfolds, and it's something bigger than we could have anticipated. And Philip's response is simple. He just says, "Well, come see for yourself." And so they go looking for Jesus. And again, Jesus sees the real Philip. He sees the core of who Philip really is when he says, "This is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Philip's shocked and says, "How did you don't know me? We've never met. We haven't had conversation. How do you know who I am?" And Jesus says, "Well, I saw you sitting under the tree earlier." Sitting under the tree, they talk about in the Old Testament about everyone under the vine, the fig tree. Now I can't say it. Vine in the fig tree, thank you. Vine in the fig tree as being a place of safety and really meditating and thinking. And so probably that was what he was doing, and that Jesus saw that. And he recognized again that Jesus knew him and knew him for who he really was, and said, recognized him and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." I think that when we're truly seen, when we're seen into our being, when somebody recognizes our true spirit, it kind of pushes back the covering that hides us. And in pushing back that covering, not only are we truly seen and recognize that we're seen for who we are, but we're given opportunity to see out as well. And it's kind of a two-way street in being seen, that we're giving the chance to see others and to recognize truth in the other as well. And I love that idea that we can see as we are seeing. And for all of us, there's an invitation to come and see and then to follow. Sometimes the invitation comes to just take the next step, and it unfolds really slowly. And sometimes we're seen to the core of our being, and we're pulled into Christ's presence with a dramatic transformation. But either way is just as real. that God walks with us, that Christ walks with us and leads us step by step, day by day. And it doesn't matter how slowly or fast, it is still an invitation to come and see and to follow and to be with Jesus and to walk with Him day by day, step by step. I think the same invitation comes to us if we walked with God our whole entire lives, or if this is a brand new beginning journey, that we are seen in new ways every day. We are invited in new ways every day. The invitation to look around the corner, to see something new, to have a new encounter with the living Christ. It is a constant invitation for us to take the next step. And that we get to go knowing that we can trust God because God is trustworthy. Let's wait in open worship as we simply think about what it means to come and see and then to follow. Let's wait and let God speak to us and direct us. And if you're prompted, Becky will bring you the mic so that we can all hear how it is that God is speaking to us today.